Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Janelle and Tanya and Tara and myself, Sandy. Tanya's waving. I love it.
They can see that.
We just ended last time. We're in Matthew 14, 22 through 36, and Tara ended with the holy pause and hoping that each and every one of us have found that holy pause that we so desperately need. And now we're going to go back in and we're going to talk about the things that are not always what they seem to look like or be.
Yeah, they aren't. They're never kind of what we expect.
Never.
And the crazy thing is that we have to have the holy pause because of what comes. And I don't even know who said this in my life, but somebody in my life once told me, you prepare for your storms in your time of peace. And the holy pause, really, that's what it is. It is the preparation for the storm. It is preparing in the time of peace for when the struggles, the difficulties, the circumstances, the life happens. And so it's taking the time to get that, what you need in connection with God so that you're prepared for when the storm comes. And so this is where we're at in this passage. We're in Matthew 14, 22 through 36, and it's the day that Jesus has sent the crowds away and the disciples to the other side of the lake, and he's gone up the mountain to pray, and it's evening time, and a storm hits. Galilee is known for its storms coming on quickly and abruptly and strong. And so it has happened. And the disciples are in the boat, and the waves are starting to toss them. They're kind of like 100 yards or so offshore, and they're struggling. They're trying to row the boat, and they can't. And Scripture says that it's in the fourth watch of night. That is equivalent to 3 to 6 in the morning. And so you're talking the tired zone. I don't know anybody that functions very well in the 3 to 6. I know that college students think they can, but it's just not reality. That's not our best time of day. And so they're trying to deal with it. And Jesus looks out and he sees that they're struggling. So he starts to walk out to them and they see this man walking on water. And they immediately think it's a ghost, and they're terrified, and they begin to scream. I wonder what they sounded like.
But it was loud because voices travel.
can you imagine the haunting sound of those men screaming? And I read, and I don't even remember, but Peter was a very large man. He was not considered a small man. In fact, extra biblical texts referred to him as the giant.
Oh, really?
He was very large boned and large of stature. And so he was not a man that was tiny. And so in the extra biblical stuff, they referred to him as the giant. And I never heard this before until I was studying for this passage. And so I wonder, hearing him scream, right. Just that whole effect. And Jesus tells them, take courage. And in some translations, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
And he says, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want us to focus in on, is this little section of the scripture. And one of the questions that came to my mind as I was looking at this is, why does God allow storms?
Mm. That's where we grow.
Yeah.
Everybody's been in storms and they're still to come, but that's where I feel like I've gotten closer to the Lord.
It is where I have too. How about you, Tanya? Why do you think he allows us to have the storms?
I think to continue to break us of our of our independence and increase our dependence.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So as I'm asking this question, why he allows these storms, and I'm thinking through this and I'm praying and I know perfectly well in my life, it's every single storm that I've been in that he has used to really change me. Mm. That is where I've come away with my perplexities and I've left with my perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm quoting Tanya from the last radio show. I mean, literally, my God perspective changed. And my people perspective changed. Mm. And even my circumstantial perspective changed. Everything in my thought process because of the different storms in my life, the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, I have walked away a different person. I'm not who I was because of that. And so John Cousin's commentary, he had an amazing quote, and I posted on Facebook because it was so profound. And he says that God allows storms to happen because he has a purpose in them. And the first purpose, he says, is God uses storms as a form of correction. He uses them to discipline us. There are times in our lives that things happen because we have to be disciplined. We are on the wrong course. He has to change our course. And so he will allow that which causes us to struggle and to really deal with the questions in our heart and mind so that we will have our course changed. And then he said, and the third one was the storms of perfection, because of the way they work within us. And so a storms of perfection, it's not about the discipline anymore as much as it is about being his changing us and discipling us. And so the first one was about discipline. This one's about the development. So he is working at making us developed into the people that he wants us to be. And so that has a profound effect. And so it's a test of obedience. So the storm of correction is to discipline, to change our course. The storm of perfection is to develop us, to test us, and to teach us. Well, a very good friend of mine, I posted this on Facebook, and she wrote something really profound on Facebook, and I wanted to read it. Deidre Sherm is a friend that attended Bible studies with me in Houston, Texas, many, many years ago. And she said, oh, Tara, I like this. I wonder if there might be a third. And she said, like the storms of deflection, where it's not about you. It's God at work in someone else's redemption story, but you get caught up in the storm. And you become the one that is the lighthouse that points them to Jesus. Maybe the storm's not about you. Is that amazing?
You know, when you think about that, though, that's true, because sometimes you're wondering why you're going through something, and then somebody comes into your life that need that witness or that help.
I know.
And I have a recent widow. I've got a couple ladies that have been in my life that didn't know them at all, except for their church, and they called me just because they know I've gone through it. So yeah, it's just great to be able to go through something and then get to the other end and help them get through.
I know. And I believe, without a doubt, that's true. I think even in the storm of deflection as somebody else is growing, I personally recognize I'm growing too, especially if I'm watching somebody else grow. It just happens. And so that's part of it. But I know one real storm, you know, you guys, I've said it over and over again, we flooded in 1998 and we lost everything. But the outcome of that was, is we watched people come to know Christ. What, as we went through that horrific trial that lasted a full almost, well, it took them, it happened, and then I think it was 6 months before our house was fully restored. And on the last day of the restoration, Matthew, the foreman for our house, showed up with his crew to do their final, they had to do the tile work in the window of my bathroom shower. And he goes, okay, this is our last thing and then we're done. And he said, Tara, and he goes, we've been in over 100 homes and I have not, and we have, I mean, if you'd have asked Greg and I, we would have told you, oh my goodness, this is the worst season of our life. And we did not feel we were being holy in any way, shape, or form, trying to be Christ-like, but we could not have testified that we were. And he said, no family has handled this the way you two have. What is different? And I was able to take my Bible with my infant and my almost three-year-old, fallen asleep in my lap, and in the 3 hours while the guys worked in the shower, I went through Scripture and shared with Matthew what God did in our behalf. And he didn't pray to receive Christ with me, but the next day he came at nighttime to tell us that he had prayed to receive Christ that night.
Wow.
And so our storm, our trial of what God was trying to teach us through going through losing everything, there was so much growth I couldn't even speak at all. Mm-hmm. That I don't even know that I even know the full measure of everything I learned through that process. But for Greg and I to see Matt come to know the Lord, it was our storm actually became a storm of deflection, and that somebody else joined in, and it was about their redemption story. And so I just was like blown away by that particular theme and thinking about the storms and how we're impacted by them, and wondering how many people are out there dealing with something. We have people in the United States dealing with the big snowstorms, people homebound. I have a friend whose daughter that was stuck on the freeway because of the ice in Dallas for 4.5 hours, and the cars couldn't move, and the people couldn't get out of their cars. It was just, they were locked down. And they just happened to have a cooler of food, and they were sharing with other cars around them as people needed water and stuff, you know, because people weren't prepared what happened in their area. And, you know, storms are going to happen. That's why we need the holy pause to prepare us ahead of time. So when they come, I want us to ask the question, God, am I in a storm of correction? What needs to be corrected in my life? What do I need to change? Where is my course of action not glorifying you? Is there something that needs to be worked out in me? And if it is, grant God permission to do it. Whatever it takes, God, make me into the child that you want me to be. The second question I want to ask is, God, is this a storm of perfection? What, God, do you want to perfect in me? What are you trying to teach me? What is it that maybe is a test for me? And if it's a test, God, what character trait are you wanting to see in me? How are you trying to grow me? What is it you want me to become as I process through this so that I can become more like you? And then the third question is, who might need their redemption story in this process, that I can become a part of that redemption in their lives as I'm going through this storm? And as I think about these, even though I didn't have those three labels in the storms, the really bad storms in my life, I did not have those labels. But I know those actions because of the Holy Spirit in me, because I had taken time for a holy pause. The Holy Spirit made that happen in me. And I was able to see him do correction, perfection, and deflection in somebody else's life. Blows my mind away, the power of God's hand. And that's what happened here this day in the boat. As they are being corrected and perfected and deflected in this boat, when Jesus showed up, he said, take courage, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.
I like that verse.
I know. And who needs to hear that?
Right. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, ladies, why do you think he gave those three phrases? Let's focus on those three phrases right now. Take courage. It is I. And don't be afraid. What do you think is the profound point he's trying to get across?
I think that, I mean, throughout most of Matthew, it's talking about the identity of Christ. We talked about that in so many of these, is who is Jesus? What is his name? What does he mean? And I think that the statement, it is I, is the crux of what he's saying, kind of a key actic structure there, that's like, the whole thing depends on who I am. Because I am who I am, take courage, do not be afraid. This is me, you can trust me, I've got this.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And what about you?
Oh, I'm just picturing that same thing. It's not any earthly means by which you're going to get through this storm. Mm-hmm. Again, he's revealing himself like, I am the only one that can get you through all things.
I heard that song today just on the way here. I am. I am the one that walks on water. I am the one that,
That's a great song.
I loved it because I hadn't heard it for a long time. And, of course, it was on today when I was hurrying over here, you know.
Oh, so good. I love how God brings us together.
Mm-hmm. I like his compassion and his mercy and his love. I mean, here he's showing courage. Take courage, but take it in me. Right. You know, mm-hmm. don't take your own courage and head off.
That's profound. For me, it goes on with what Janelle is saying and that the identity, but the recognition of his presence mm-hmm. in the storm. Yet, you know, just to see, I am here. And I think it is so easy for me, I will say it about myself, that in the moment that I recognize the storm, that if I allow myself, I could forget that I have the presence of the living God living in me. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not who I was 20 years ago as far as how I react. It's totally different. And that it would have taken me a lot longer to see Jesus. But as I have grown and matured and trusted his word mm-hmm. and his faithful promises and seen him in every storm, my reaction now is, okay, he's here. Mm-hmm. Now what? Mm-hmm. Okay, he is sufficient. Mm-hmm. He is my help in my time of need. And so I'm finding I will call those up a lot quicker in my prayer and instead of delaying. Mm-hmm.
And that's good because that fear does come. You know, that's why he says it, what, 366 times, do not fear, or something about fear.
Right. Yeah.
One
yeah.
for every day and leap year. You know, so.
That's cute. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody add the leap year.
I've seen that just not too long. Maybe this morning I read that somewhere and I'm thinking, that's good. We do need to add that extra. Covered. He's got it all covered, even right. that fourth year.
I love the transition between the statement in there that it is I. Then you said, I am here. And mm-hmm. like I am is here.
I know.
Yeah, it's just like woo.
Yeah, it's really good. It is good. Okay, and so we need to make sure that when we look at the storms, that we one first prepare in the times of peace and have the holy pause, and then as we get into the storm, I'm just going to reiterate for us: ask God, you know, how are you correcting me? How are you perfecting me? And how are you deflecting mm-hmm. me so that I can be used by those around me? And when we take the time in the storm to ask God, those are holy questions before God. Those are not a no answer. Those will always be a yes because they would bring glory to God. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, oftentimes people say God never answers my prayers. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are my prayers God-honoring prayers? Mm-hmm. And so when we know we have a prayer that is glorifying God, the answer is yes. So asking for holy correction, holy perfection, and holy deflection will always be a yes. And so we'd love to hear from you and how God is working at you, working in your life and your storms. You can contact us at tararye.com. God bless.